It's Wednesday, May 3rd, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight we talk about Paranoia Agent.
Let's do this.
So today I quit IBM.
Da da da.
I gave them my 2 to 3 weeks notice, and I'm out of there. I get a better job somewhere now.
Hooray.
Yeah, they didn't really say anything outright yet, but I think they're quietly panicking that I'm leaving.
Ah.
I think they've kind of realized that he kind of does a lot for us that we don't know much about.
High truck factor is what they say.
Yep.
For anyone who doesn't know, truck factor is the how badly the company will be damaged if you were hit by a truck. So if I have a low truck factor and I walk out of my work and I get hit by a truck, they don't care. A high truck factor is, oh shit, Scott got hit by a truck. Now the company is ruined.
It seems that a lot of people in IBM have a very high truck factor. I don't know what, I mean, I really can't go into the details for various reasons, but I really don't know what the company's going to do in 5 or 6 years or maybe 10 years when all the people with specialized knowledge who are old and don't have anyone to replace them, I don't know, die or retire or quit.
Get hit by a truck?
Yeah. Gotta watch out for that truck.
Truck. Truck. Truck.
Truck.
Truck.
Truck.
Truck.
Truck.
All right.
Yeah, we'll talk about truck another day.
Yeah. In news from my work, I almost did work today, kinda.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. Like, there was some measly assignment someone had me do that I finished in, like, an hour a long time ago. And I got an email today, like, oh my god, you messed up. And then I checked, and no, it was actually someone saying I messed up because I didn't do things they never told me to do.
Uh-huh.
That were associated with the first thing. And also, I was in on some phone call or meeting thing that, whatever, that I really didn't care about at all, but it's like, I'm almost doing work. Almost.
Are you almost finding a job somewhere else?
No, I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, I'll note that I had pretty much no trouble finding a job.
I'm thinking if I want to get a new job, though, I'm going to at least hold out until after I use all my vacation days. So what I might do is just take the Otakon vacation and then use every vacation day I freaking got and then get a new, you know.
See, that's the badass part of the job I got now. I won't get the vacation right away because I'm just starting, but once I get going, I'm going to get a month of vacation every year to start.
Well, I currently have 10 days. If I stick with this job, it'll go up to 15. Hopefully, ooh, if I get a new job, I'm going to demand at least 15 days, and then that's pretty much almost a month because you get the weekends attached.
Yep. But, I mean, I accepted the job, but I have to go down and get a physical and all this stuff because I'm working for a hospital. The only thing that can stand in my way now is if I somehow have tuberculosis.
What if you have the AIDS from a Mario?
I don't think Mario gave me the AIDS.
It's a me, a Mario. I made it AIDS.
We're just full of inside jokes tonight.
It's not that inside. There was a Photoshop. I had Dr. Mario holding
yes,
up a pill.
There was indeed a Photoshop once on a website.
And Mario, it was Dr. Mario holding up a pill, and the text said, it's a me, Mario. I made it to AIDS.
It was a Photoshop Friday on something awful, and I believe the theme was something along the lines of video game characters gone bad.
Oh, that was a good one.
It was one of the funniest Photoshop Fridays in the history of the world.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, the only thing I've seen that's funnier than that is Lord of the Rings on the go.
No, I think this is slightly better than Lord of the Rings on the go.
Lord of the Rings on the go. I mean, he was stabbed.
Denethor.
He was hit with a 4-door blade.
All right, all right.
Okay.
Okay.
So before we do the real news, we've got the rumorist of crap rumors. Scott heard this. I didn't even hear it.
Okay, you ready?
This is so off the radar that I heard nothing.
This is such the might be completely bullshit news. In fact, probably completely false news.
We're only saying something about it because if we don't, and then something gets said tomorrow, we're going to get crap in the forums from people saying, eh, you always know everything. How come you didn't know this?
Yeah, well, his proof that if this is true, which it probably isn't, but if this is true, we know shit way before everyone else. Plus, remember, we're recording this a good 4 hours possibly before you can download it.
Yeah.
And you're probably downloading this tomorrow, which to us is today.
Nah, there's about 30 or 40 people. It seems to be about 37 people who download the episode.
Yeah, but when do they listen to it?
Yeah.
That just means they have their computers on with their podcatchers running. It doesn't mean they're double-clicking and listening right away.
Though I do also note the aims I get over the course of the night. When's the episode going to be up?
Yeah, anyway, there was a forum that had a story in it, and that story said that tomorrow in USA Today there would be an article. You're already seeing how this is such a bullshit rumor.
Yeah, I mean, we're really
a
close.
A forum about a possible article in tomorrow's newspaper. So, the article would supposedly be about DVDs, official DVDs, of the original Star Wars with Han shooting first and everything that are going to be out. And from what people say is that the DVDs will have, you know, episodes 4, 5, and 6 in the special edition versions and the original versions, both on the disc.
I'm really curious and dubious.
I'm dubious plus plus. I'm double plus dubious.
When it comes to our internet news, there are like different tiers or levels of the verifiability and reliability of a news source. I mean, there's, you know, actual news like Reuters, AP Wire. One step before that is like Slashdot.
Well, no. One step ahead of Reuters is Horse's Mouth. So if it's a story about Slashdot and you hear it straight from Commander Taco, you don't need AP Wire and Reuters. That's Horse's Mouth news is number one.
Yeah, but I'm talking about not
number
not
two.
News like
number
that.
Two is Reuters AP Wire.
Well, no, I'm going back toward the earlier, less reliable news.
Oh, see, I'm going from the most reliable away to the least reliable.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Most reliable is Horse's Mouth news.
Well, I'm talking about temporarily. Horse's Mouth has nothing to do with this.
All right. This is
legitimate news. You know, AP Wire is like, all right, this happened. Before that, there's the other places. Then it gets to FARC, which is like the early edge, where it's 95% likely to be true, but it's FARC. Then beyond that, there's like Drudge. Drudge is like, he's right most of the time. He breaks the news real early with no details. He is often wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, there's the story that we just broke.
So, this story came from one forum over to another forum, and in that forum...
Wasn't it deleted from the first forum?
It was deleted from the first forum because a guy said that they were worried about getting nailed on bandwidth.
Yeah.
So, in the second forum, there was a guy who really is like a senior technical director at Industrial Light and Magic.
So saith you.
So saith a lot of people. Like, he really is. It's not, that's not dubious.
Are you sure? Is his name Samar Gupta?
No. His name is not Samar. He really is. It's not a joke. And he said, yeah, it's true. So we'll see. If this is true tomorrow, then Rim and Scott got the scoop. If it's not true tomorrow, Rim and Scott are smart for being all dubious.
Yeah.
We win either way.
I put about a 5% chance of this being true in any form.
I give it a 5.5% chance.
If I roll a 20 on a D20, this is true.
There you go. So, let's get to the news that isn't live.
The actual news.
There was a story today on ICV2.
I note that instead of saying, you just paused really, really long.
Actually, I'm pausing because I lost the story.
The one about manga.
Yep. Oh, I found it. The size of the manga market in the North American region of the world is between $155 and $180 million of retail money. Now, $180 million divided by $10 per manga is what?
A lot.
That's pretty much how many manga are sold in a year.
Yeah, the manga market here is booming.
It's growing in double-digit percentages. It's insane.
Well,
absolutely
insane.
Look
at how many manga get onto the bestseller lists now.
Yep, you look at like the top 100 books in the country, and you'll see manga there like all the time.
Yeah, like...
Not a lot of manga.
But you'll see stuff like, Fruits Basket 4.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty scary.
Scary awesome.
Scary awesome. In contrast, Diamond Distributors, who is the sole distributor of comic books to comic book stores and such, they're the only company that distributes comic books.
They're the sole distributor of a medium wherein words are randomly bolded for no apparent reason.
Yes. They also distribute other things like manga, but manga is also distributed by other companies to bookstores because Diamond doesn't distribute to bookstores. And they distribute toys and t-shirts and all kinds of shit. Diamond, in the first quarter of a year, made $83 million. So, let's see, 83 times 4.
Not doing so well by comparison.
Yeah, and if you subtract the toys and the manga, that comes out to like, let's be reasonable and say 240 million. So 240 million in comics versus 155 in manga, and that's being really conservative and weighting it towards comics.
Also note that comics are growing at what, 1%?
Yeah, they're growing at a rate of 1%, while the manga is growing at double-digit percentages. You got like maybe a year and a half to 2 years before the manga just completely blows the comics over.
Yep, I mean, eventually we're going to hit the
unless
point,
unless the rates change.
Where... we've already released all the manga that's out.
There's just too manga. There's no too much manga. You can't release it all. There's just no way.
But I could see the rate of picking manga up increasing, even though that means also bringing over a lot of crap.
Yeah, I could, but who knows?
I'm very happy with this trend in general. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot
might flood the market with crap, but all that will do is eliminate a bunch of companies from... Like, right now, there's a whole bunch of manga companies. If they start flooding the market with crap, what'll just happen is Viz will be the only company left because they seem to be putting out all the good manga.
Yeah, with their signature series.
Which currently has 3 manga in it.
There'll be more.
We'll see. Currently, I've got all of it.
I just think it's good news, partly because you always run into those people on the internet who have the opinion that anime and manga is just stupid fad, it'll go away, or it's ruining American whatnot, or they have all sorts of arguments. They hate anime. They just hate it, and they hate manga.
What's wrong with them?
I don't know, but most of their arguments that, oh, it's just a fad and it's going to disappear, or it's not actually that popular, really not holding up anymore.
No, it's stupid, insane, popular. Holy shit. $180 million. Goddamn.
Think about how much manga is in just our house right now, and we don't even have that much.
Goddamn.
Remember Gabby back at RIT?
Goddamn.
That was back when manga really wasn't that popular.
And now she owns an anime store full of manga.
Yeah.
Great.
All right, so I got some non-anime news.
Whoa.
Though I guess some anime has been pirated through this, so it could count. And I see some AMVs on it periodically. YouTube, as you all know, is fairly awesome in that they give basically free unlimited bandwidth to share movies with people.
Yeah, but your movie can't be that long, and there's other rules.
Well, yeah, but the rules are kind
of... And the quality gets diminished when it's converted to Flash.
But in general, I mean, it's free. Completely free. There are no ads. There's no nothing. They have absolutely no revenue stream.
Yep.
Whatsoever.
That's why they're losing money by the fistful.
They basically only have enough money, if you believe analysts, 11 more months of operation.
Probably less than 11 months because they're spending $1 million on bandwidth, not counting their other costs. So,
yeah, I imagine their other costs aren't too much. They don't seem to do much work.
Yeah. But
I mean, they set up a system that is basically self-managed, and they only need a few moderators to go around.
Yeah, but as the system becomes more popular, they need more hardware, you know? So you have to keep adding computers and adding computers and adding computers. It's not just bandwidth.
Well, the thing is, they had a lot of plans in place to scale, and recently, for a number of reasons, they've implemented one of those plans, which basically throttles the bandwidth and slows YouTube down a bit.
Great.
Now, that alone wouldn't have been cause for the massive internet outrage that is spawned today.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to throttling back the bandwidth a bit, they've started really cracking down on copyright.
Mm-hmm.
Which, honestly, that's really the main reason people use YouTube, is to see things that were funny that were on TV, or videos that were funny that they couldn't see normally. Or yep. People are sharing videos that they couldn't share normally. Much of it runs afoul of copyright or is in some way obscene or pornographic.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just looking for videos of some dude who drank a dirty old beer and then vomited.
That guy was great.
Google Video can take care of that.
Yeah, YouTube really seems to have a lot of like clips from The Simpsons or a funny bit from Conan O'Brien the other night. Stuff like that.
Yep.
They're really cracking down now. And the blogosphere, because no one normal is really rioted yet.
No one normal knows that YouTube is.
Yeah, but the blogosphere...
Normal people watch television.
I hate that word, but I'm using it anyway because it's really the only word that defines the type of people I'm talking about. The people in the blogosphere who are quote-unquote big in it are really, really hard on YouTube now, and they're attacking it, and they're saying, oh, it's no good, and they're having this sort of internet protest.
Yeah.
I just want to say that I don't know what they plan to accomplish. YouTube is free. YouTube doesn't owe them anything, and they really have no right to complain.
See, what YouTube should have done is they should have let you put porn up there and charge money to have people see your videos. That's how they make money.
Why don't we make that site?
What, just a YouTube, and you upload your porn of yourself.
Yep. You have
and
to
you put a price on it, and then we add a dollar to the price, and we skim a dollar off every single video people pay for, you know.
Yeah, we also have a service where we'll verify by the people who put them up, you know, legal age and all that.
And we'll verify that, you know, it's you didn't just steal some porn movie.
Yeah. We could call it Porn Bay.
Porn Tube.
Pornicious.
You porn.
Something with a something web 2.0-y with the .us on the end.
Ooh.
Or why don't we get a new UK, just like fu.ck?
I think it's taken.
I'll bet it's taken by a typo squatter.
Yep. fc.uk. Anyway.
Yeah, that's the news about YouTube. If you can't tell, for 2 days in a row, we've been really kind of lacking in news we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, YouTube really should have gone the Flickr route, where it's more of a personal storage collection of, you know, your stuff thing than a, you know, video sharing type of thing.
Yeah, because that's a model where you get people hooked on it, and then they're more than willing to pay some small amount of money to get more features.
Yeah, like with Flickr, I pay $25 a year, and every time I take pictures of shit, I just stick them in the Flickr bin. You know, sure, it gets shared sometimes. People go and look at it, but it's not stupid, insane like YouTube. Most people go to YouTube to search for funny videos. People don't store their home videos on YouTube. If they made it more like a store your home videos thing than a share videos with the world thing, then it would have done a lot better, I think.
Or even both. Store your videos and share them. As long as you have some sort of revenue stream, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea, except doing it with video is a lot harder than pictures.
Well, the thing is, also as bandwidth gets cheaper, I mean, YouTube really is something that's going to flash in the pan and then disappear because their whole, they can't sustain themselves.
Yeah, I don't want it to disappear because of the entertainment it brings me, but at the same time, I want it to disappear because of the entertainment that will bring me.
Oh, the internet will explode.
Explode. We never lost some, like, you know, what if, like, Slashdot died? It would be like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
you know?
Meepool died, but it died a slow death.
Is it really dead?
No, it's still there, but it's dead as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about something going away, like when Goatsy died.
Yeah, that was a sad day.
Yeah, so that was something. Now, this, imagine how much worse it would be if YouTube died or Flickr died.
See, it's something people don't really consider these days. I mean, even look at webcomics. The webcomics that are really popular and big now, someday they're not going to be there anymore. But
yeah,
no,
people
one's
take for granted that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday there's a Penny Arcade no matter what.
Yeah, they've
one
never
day that
update.
Won't be the case. They're older than I am. They're going to die before I do.
I don't know what I'll do.
I don't know what I'll do either.
I mean, Penny Arcade,
hopefully I'll be blind or illiterate by then.
Illiterate, eh?
Yeah, I'm so old I can't read, so it won't matter. I won't care.
No, because you get the grandkids to read it to you.
Ah, there you go. Shit.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. Speaking of Flickr, our friend James recently uploaded a pile of old pictures of us from various events.
Oh, great.
I think in the forums I'll link to a few, because some people have asked what we look like, and while there are pictures about in few places, no one seems to really be able to find them easily.
You know, you can go to my Flickr. In fact, there's a link to my Flickr on the left side of frontrowcrew.com, and on my blog. And there's also a link to my blog on the left side of frontrowcrew.com.
And in the Frapper map, I put a picture of myself up with my mustache, even though I don't have that mustache anymore.
Yeah, I'll take a picture of myself one of these days, sometime.
Yeah, but for now, I think I'm going to link to a bunch of pictures of us.
All right. Cool.
Back when I had that beard.
I really looked the same as I did always.
I look the same as I looked in high school, except that I've occasionally grown a beard, shaved it off, had a mustache, gotten rid of the mustache. But other than that, I look the same.
I look the same as I did in high school, except my face is a little more darker within the beard area.
Eh, you got the little paunch now.
I've always had that. I don't know what's with you and the paunch.
Because you lead a sedentary lifestyle.
What's with you and the sedentary lifestyle?
I believe you're the one with the sedentary lifestyle. Mr. Sedentary.
I'm not sedentary.
Mr. Sedentary.
I'm not that like that guy we just saw on the internet.
Ooh, Uribe?
Yeah, Uribe.
You know, he'll be the news tomorrow if I can't find anything.
Wasn't there someone else named Uribe?
Yeah, from a movie we saw.
Yeah, what movie was it?
I don't remember.
Oh, the Hitchcock movie, Topaz.
Oh, Topaz.
Topaz had Uribe in it.
That actually wasn't that good a movie.
I liked it.
It was all right.
You suck.
It was good. It was just long.
Yeah, it was a little bit long.
Like, it ended, but then it kept going.
The real problem, the only thing I had problem with that movie was it was like two movies in one. There was like the Cuban movie and the Russian movie. I wanted just one or the other.
Yeah. We could do a whole show on that movie if we wanted.
Nah, let's not.
I could. There's a lot of deep inner meaning there.
Whatever, I'm done. Let's go do the things of the day.
So, it looks like we rolled a 20.
Woohoo! I rolled 20s, bitch.
This isn't a thing of the day yet, but it's the second half of the show, and we have to interrupt the thing of the day to have a breaking news bit. So the Star Wars thing was probably legitimate.
There is a spot on StarWars.com where we will happily link that says, yeah, they're really going to put the legitimate episodes 4, 5, and 6 out on DVD along with the enhanced versions of from the special editions.
Yeah, THX and all that.
Yep. I wish I could just get the THX, but also Han shooting first. I like how in this article they have a picture of Han shooting first.
They know.
They sure do. Okay.
So, yeah, we got it.
Woo!
Yeah, as dubious as we were, I think we had the proper amount of dubiousness.
Yep. However, I got one thing to say about this. Okay.
All right, so my thing of the day, other than Star Wars, is a video that... Just watch it. Just go to my thing of the day and watch the video.
Now, watch it carefully. I watched it 2 times before I figured out what was going on.
Yep, because I watched it and I thought, wow, nothing happened. And then I watched it again. Nothing happened. Then I watched it again. Wait a minute. That guy... Basically, there's a bunch of people stopped at a red light. And there's traffic going in the other direction. And suddenly, some guy just runs the red light at high speed through this sea of traffic and gets to the other side. And there's no accident or anything. He just keeps going.
The video is accurately named Real Life Frogger.
I can't believe that the guy in question is not dead.
Maybe he is now, but goddamn.
Yeah.
All right, so my thing of the day. In the late 50s, there was a Air Force project called Project West Ford.
West Ford.
The purpose of this project was that the only way at the time to communicate across the world was via undersea cables. And they were worried that the Russians or other bad people might cut the cables. And the only way to communicate across the world if the cables were cut would be by bouncing radio signals off of the ionosphere. Now that's unreliable as all hell. Like, you can get it to work once in a while. Ask a ham radio guy.
Yep, every now and then you'll have a ham guy who's sitting there playing around, and he'll get a signal from, like, Tokyo.
Yeah, he'll be like, woohoo, I got Australia. Yes! They'll, like, get up early in the morning to do ham radio, because that's when they can, you know, they're crazy. So that's not the most reliable way to do things, and they needed reliable, guaranteed communication to the other side of the world. So they had this crazy idea. What they would do is they would get a bunch of 1.8 centimeter long, 0.0018 centimeter diameter copper needles. And these things basically were like these little tiny copper needles, like ow, 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 you don't want to touch them. And they get a whole shit ton of them and go really basically make an artificial ionosphere by putting a zillion of these things up in the sky. And they tried it and it didn't work.
That's kind of a crazy batshit idea.
It is. Like, hey, let's fill the sky with fucking a ring of copper needles around the entire Earth that we can bounce signals off of. Because, you know, the copper needles of exactly this size would, you know, bounce microwave signals really, really well. So then they tried it again, and it kind of worked. Like, they bounced signals off of it and talked around to the other side of the world. And then, you know, eventually the copper dissipated and it stopped working.
Great, so it was mostly useless.
Yeah, they even said, hey, maybe we can recover some of the needles to at least get some information about that. Because, I mean, they put these things, like, way up in space, almost.
Yeah, and this was before, you know, space travel.
Yeah, but then they realized, oh, there are going to be about 2 or 3 needles per, like, square mile in the Arctic or something. It's something insane. Like, finding any needle would have been, like, well, needle in a haystack or a snow pile.
Great.
So there was really no way they were going to find any of these things.
It's an interesting page to read about this kind of crazy program.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what kind of crazy programs the government might be doing now. Or what other crazy programs they did that, you know, secret government stuff isn't aliens and shit. That's all made up. Secret government stuff is stuff like this, where you go, what the hell? You tried that crazy shit with our money? What the hell?
Yeah. Stop taking my money for needles in space.
Yeah, but, you know, it makes you wonder what other kind of crazy shit they did that's similar to this. And it's real interesting to read about it, because it kind of worked, but all the scientists were like, God damn, what the hell's wrong with you?
So without further ado,
all right, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, I do.
No,
that
don't.
Song is really catchy. I don't know why.
It's not that catchy. It's a little bit catchy.
It's stuck in my head right now.
Anyway, you're talking about Paranoia Agent. Paranoia Agent is an anime that is 13 episodes long.
It came out a while ago.
We just didn't watch it till just now. We didn't even finish it yet. We've seen seven episodes.
Yep, seven episodes.
And it's by Satoshi Kon, who is awesome.
Yeah, he's the one from Perfect Blue, Tokyo Godfathers, Millennium Actress.
Yeah, he directed all those. And if you've seen those and you realize that that guy directed this also, you go, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, really, watching Paranoia Agent, there are scenes that are almost straight out of Millennium Actress.
There's scenes that it's straight out of Millennium Actress. There's scenes that it's scenes out of all his stuff.
Well, there's the scene with the one girl fighting the other girl. That's pretty much the same scene, almost, from Perfect Blue.
Yep. It's just, wow. It's like I didn't realize it was the same guy, but as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, shits. Yeah, it's the same guy. And this guy's sort of like a Blizzard, you know? I mean, Blizzard as in the game company. You know, as people always say that every game that Blizzard makes is a good game. And, it, you know, while I don't, you know, necessarily like all their games, you got to admit that all their games are, you know, smash hits.
He also seems to be kind of like the Snatch guy in that what he makes is good, but everything he makes is kind of similar.
Kind of similar, yeah. But I wouldn't mind him making like 10 more movies so I could watch them.
Yeah. Now, Paranoia Agent is weird. I'll say that right now. It's weird.
It definitely changes the mood a lot. You know, in one part, it'll be really silly and cute. In another part, it'll be dark and scary. In another part, it'll be way trippy and crazy.
Now, this, I will say that it's probably less obtuse and easier to follow than, say, Lane.
Definitely.
I mean, Lane, the first five episodes were just, something weird's happening, something weird's happening, something weird's happening, we're not going to explain anything, the power lines are buzzing, oh my god!
That's the whole show. It's not just the first five episodes, it's the whole show.
Now it gets more coherent once you figure out the plot.
Barely.
Yeah.
Paranoia Agent is very much more coherent.
The thing is, Paranoia Agent, we'll talk about the plot in a minute, but the way I feel as I watch the show, just through the first four or five or six or seven episodes, is that it'll start out and you have this idea of what the show is, and they start, you know, characters appear, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. Every time you start to figure it out, like, all right, I feel where this show is going, they'll turn everything upside down, and the show will go in a completely different direction. I mean, there's something that happens at the end of the fourth episode. We can't ruin it. We really can't because it's amazing. But it's the last thing I ever expected to happen in this show.
It's not the last thing I expected to happen, but it definitely wasn't expected. What's interesting about it is that it made it different from most other shows. Like, most other shows, you'd be like, okay, well, that thing is going to be revealed at the end of the show, and it's going to remain a mystery until then, and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of episode four, they just totally throw in the curveball. It's like, whoa, dude. Curveball.
Yep, and don't think that that's the only curveball the show's going to throw at you.
Hell no.
And the show starts out with this girl who is a character designer for a company. And she made a little pink character called a what, Maromi?
Something like that.
Maromi-chan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little cute pink thing. And she's walking home, and she's under pressure. You know, she has a deadline to make another cute character. And she's
Her first character was like this amazing smash hit that swept the nation. Everyone loves this character.
Like, she's a minor celebrity.
And they want her to design another character because it'll also probably be a smash hit, sweep the nation, make $1 zillion.
So she's walking home at night, and she's stressed, and everything's going wrong, and she's kind of creeped out because she sees this weird old lady. And, like, some street lights go out. And then she drops her bag, and all her stuff spills out. And then she cuts her arm while she's trying to pick up one of her sketches from under this car. And it's just a really bad night. And then, and this is what the, this is, I really didn't expect the show to be about this, except for the fact that someone told me that this is what the show was about. Someone in rollerblades with a baseball bat.
Golden rollerblades, golden baseball bat.
Rolls by and just hits her.
Once.
Whack!
And then skates away.
And then the next thing we know, it's the next day, and she's in the hospital, and there's this news about she was attacked, and we cut the detectives investigating it, and you really
the
don't know what's going on.
Detectives are important characters.
Yes. And one of them really reminds me of Togusa from Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was my favorite character until something happens.
Yeah. Every character seems to have something weird about them.
So I don't like, because I always... I can't really identify with the characters who are all weird. I always want to have the one guy who's smart and isn't fucked up in the head that I can hang on to. Like, yeah, he's my man. And when you don't, when they either take that guy away or they don't have the guy in the first place, it's really hard to hold on to the show because I really just want everyone to die or I want someone to become smart. And I'm just frustrated with all the characters for because all of them could be that guy, but they're not.
Well, I think part of it in this show, Paranoia Agent, is that the show's not rooted anywhere.
No,
I mean,
it's not.
It's rooted around a whole bunch of things, and it never fixes on anything. There's never, like, you never feel at ease, like you know some shows, like, you're following the main thing. Oh, a side bit, back to the main thing. There's no main thing.
There's no main thing, there's no side bits. There's just pieces all over the place that are all equal but different.
And it's not just that for you, because it's that way for the characters, too. The investigators who are going around, because obviously more people get attacked by this kid. They start, Shonen Bat, they call him.
Uh-huh.
He appears suddenly.
I think in the dub he's called Little Slugger, but yeah. I prefer Shonen Bat.
Yeah, there's even a whole thing where the media, like, people are talking, like, they don't know what to call him yet. Once there's this string of attacks, they're like, Bat Shonen. Nah, Shonen Bat sounds better. And they talk about different names.
Mm-hmm.
But other than the string of attacks, there's absolutely no connection that's real that the detectives can follow. Other than that, there's between every victim, there's this really, really weak, flimsy connection. Like,
well, sometimes there's a strong connection between the victims. Like, the first victim's this girl. Who's the second victim?
The reporter who's following her around trying to get some goods on her.
Right. And then the third victim is...
kind of random. But not totally random, because the third victim, like, you... Like, they're unrelated, but then the detectives find a tiny link. And there's always, like, a tiny thread of a link between all the victims.
And you wonder if it's random and it just coincidence, because it's a show, they can do something like that. Because in a show, you can make anything you want happen.
Well, this guy's the master of coincidences. Tokyo Godfathers.
Yeah, I know, right? The whole show was movie was a giant coincidence. So you wonder, is it all a coincidence? Or is there something to do? And you know this old man you see right away, and you know there's something up with the old man, but they never tell you what's up with the old man.
Yeah, all you
know... He's like the ninja wearing all white standing on Homer's front lawn.
I want to see what he was going to do.
He closed the door.
Oh, I missed it. But the old man, it's neat because, you know, there's the first attack, right? And you see the old man, and he's writing, like, furiously, and like he's because he's obviously in a nursing home, but he's outside, and he's writing in the parking lot with chalk on the street. This furious, horrible, you-can't-decipher-it equation kind of thing. And he's really working on it hard. And it gets to the point where he's, like, has an equal sign, and then he writes something. And he basically predicted who was going to be attacked by Shonen Bat first.
Mm-hmm.
And
then he does it again.
Yes.
So you start to wonder what the hell's up with this old man, and they don't reveal it so easily.
And it seems like every time the show will be from, like, the perspective of a character, or it'll follow a character, but every character's kind of weird, and you kind of get sucked into their universe and their worldview. So when you're following the first girl, like, everything's depressing and annoying, and people are bothering you, and it's hard to tell what's going on, and it's just really...
Yeah, in the first four episodes, I think four or five people get hit by Shonen Bat, and the show follows the characters as they lead up to getting hit by Shonen Bat.
And it's in the style of the character's mind. Like, if one character is sleazy, then the show has this kind of sleazy feel to it.
Yep.
And then one guy or one girl is insane, and the show has an insane feel to it.
Mm-hmm. And then after the fourth episode, something crazy happens, and then the show starts to go with the detectives. So I was kind of happy about that, because the detectives were all cool. And I figured, hey, all right, so for the first four episodes, they show the Shonen Bat, and then they show the detectives for the rest of the, you know, the next set. But no, something weird happens with them too, and then it gets crazy, and then I stopped. We didn't have any more episodes.
Yeah, we're waiting for the next DVD to come.
Yep.
I really like the show, though.
It's a really good show. I don't know if it's an A anime, but it's damn good anime.
Well, there's an episode coming up, and we saw the preview for it. And
it's the next episode. It's episode 8.
The next episode has been talked up to me by several people. I mean, Emily a while ago explained this episode and the concept to me, and it's basically like horrible dark humor, but at the same time, it's hilarious. About three people who are in a suicide pact.
Great. Suicide, my favorite subject.
I will say that the show does tread in some fairly disturbing waters a few times.
It does, even though a lot of those waters are unrealistic.
Yeah.
Well, some are more unrealistic than others.
Yes, but you can definitely, there's this one girl, and not to really ruin it, but she is insane, and she has issues. And the whole episode that follows her, you really get this sense of like what it's like to not be in control of yourself or to actually be insane like that.
Yeah, the thing is, no one is insane like that.
Well, not like that specifically, but there are people who have problems of that magnitude.
There are.
I think the problem they picked for the show was a very good problem to be shown in an anime.
Yeah.
It's easy to depict.
It is. I think a lot of the things he decides to do are easy to depict, or he's just really good at depicting things.
Yeah. Plus, he often leaves a lot unsaid. Like, they'll show a little detail that explains something, but they won't call attention to it. They won't say anything about it. You just have to infer.
There's a lot of things that I inferred falsely, especially in, like, the most recent episode. I said didn't like again.
Yeah, you did. I pretty much infer the most recent episode correctly. It seemed to be obvious to me that the father, not to ruin anything, did what he did to pay. He obviously was selling that to pay for the things he was giving to his family.
Well, that wasn't the what I was talking about. I was talking about like a minor detail in it where I assumed that a person was related to another person when in fact there was another person that we didn't know about.
But the show, I see what the show was doing there, and I thought it was really
neat. It was like, did they do it on purpose or not? It's a tough call.
Yeah, there's basically a point in the episode we just watched where there are two parallel stories going on. Like, the detectives and an old lady are having a conversation, and at the same time you see this girl walking around, and the scenes keep cutting back and forth between the two, and even though they're in completely different situations, it like they're completely parallel, and then it culminates when the two threads kind of they don't meet at all, but something happens in both stories simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if it really happened or not. It's hard to tell if things actually happen or not in this show.
Yeah, that's one thing that bothers me is in shows, usually you can say, okay, that was in a guy's dream, that was just imagery, that actually happened for physically, that's with just someone's view of what happened and not really what happened. You can eventually figure out all of it. In this show, a lot of stuff is just up in the air and it's slightly bothersome.
Yeah, but I can see why they're doing that. I mean, it works.
Oh yeah, it sure does work, but it's also bothersome.
The show never gives you an objective perspective. There is never.
Sometimes it does, but not enough
really.
Of one.
Never. There's never a point when it's not from, like, through some character's eyes or in some character's style.
Mm.
There's never just, like, the normal scene where, all right, this is the grounded reality. This is the base of the show.
Because the show doesn't really have a single base, but a lot of things happen that are, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
And obviously are, you know, literal.
But, like, the one kid who is kind of. They thought he was shown in bad and he was having trouble because of that. That episode was very like grounded in reality, but notice how all it did was it kept panning to like all the people in the town talking about the kid. And it was perfectly normal stuff, but it was still, the show really just focused on the people gossiping because that was the thing that was bothering the kid.
Yeah, but it is what physically happened as opposed, there was no question about it being metaphorical or only in his head. That
well, up
really
until the actual Shonen batting.
Yeah, then it got weird.
With the red glow and then you don't know what happened or who did it or why or if it was in his head or what.
Yeah, that's the part you don't know. But up until then, it's pretty normal.
The show really keeps you on edge and it really keeps you guessing.
Yeah, I'm still guessing. I'm probably guessing wrong.
Now, the opener has a really catchy song.
It's not that catchy.
It's really catchy to me.
All right. It's only slightly catchy to me. Like, I can forget it.
Just honestly, I'm not sure what to make of the opener. I mean, most shows either have a normal standard, like this is an opener to a show, or they have like a cool, this is like a metaphorical retelling of the show in a minute and 30 seconds. Ooh. Or FMA had the cool opener that changes periodically. This opener is just kind of weird.
Yeah, it's like all the characters laughing and like nukes going on. The imagery in the opener is definitely reminiscent of Satoshi Kon's stuff.
Yes.
It shows you all the characters, and it plays this music, which is kind of fitting.
The characters are like, they're just standing there laughing in a kind of disturbing way.
It's like, they're not disturbing, like they're laughing evilly or maniacally. Like, they look like they're genuinely laughing, but somehow that's disturbing, like, very slightly when you put it with the music and the way that they kind of pan through and have these weird backgrounds. And
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really not sure what it is about it, but it's weird. Watch the show, watch the opener, you'll see what we mean. It's hard to describe until you see it.
It's the first time in a while we've talked about a show that isn't just, this is porn, don't watch it.
Yeah.
This is crap, don't watch it.
Well, because numerous people have been giving us crap about, why are you only watching crap anime?
Well, it's because most anime is crap anime, and we've just been watching things randomly.
Yeah, we've got an idea, though, because we've got a lot of anime lying around.
There is a lot of anime on the computer plugged into our television.
So Scott had this idea where we're going to go through them all real quick, find all the really, really bad ones, and do one show where we're just like, this anime is crap, it's just boobs. This anime is crap, it's just a harem show. This anime is crap, it has giant robots, but no actual plot.
That way we can free up some hard drive space and simultaneously free up some hard drive space.
Yeah, because originally we were keeping it all around so the well of future episodes for Wednesdays would never run out.
But we have more than enough for, like, Infinity Wednesdays.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, just now, we're still working on this, but for those of you who know, Jim Vowles, the chair of Otakon, has agreed to an interview with us on Geek Nights. And we've been going back and forth, and he's told us a lot of cool stuff about Otakon, but we're still trying to schedule an actual audio interview with him, because as you know, he's a busy man.
And technically arrange it also.
Yes, probably with that wireless bridge telephony thingy bridge you had before.
If it works, we'll see.
Yeah, the thing we use for Mike Pfeffer.
Yep.
A.K.A. Jewish Wolfwood. Mm. A.K.A. anime, communist, whatever.
Whatever.
But yeah, I really like Paranoia Agent. There's enough humor. It's not really a dark show, but it has dark moments. It has funny moments. The end of episode 4, it has one of those awesome yell at the TV moments.
Yeah, well, it's not yell at the TV isn't grr. It's yell at the TV is like, woo! Or like, whoa! Woohoo!
Yeah, if we were watching that show in club.
It's a whoa followed by a woohoo.
If we'd watched that show in club, there would have been some yelling and screaming.
There sure would have
possibly
been.
Possibly some clapping.
Definitely major standing O.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for our opening theme.
Be sure to visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com. If you like our podcast, you'll love our forums. Make sure you visit them. You can send your email feedback to geeknights@gmail.com. And if you want, you can leave us a voicemail at 206-333-1537.
Geek Nights airs every weeknight, Monday through Thursday.
Geek Nights is recorded with absolutely no studio and no audience. But unlike those other talk shows, it's actually recorded at night.